The Lord's been getting to the heart of the matter. And what we've been learning is that if there are problems in this world, it's a heart problem. If there's problems in our life, it's a heart problem. If there's a fruit problem, there's a root problem. If there's a problem with the fruit, it's because there's a problem with the root. We've been learning, just like it says right here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, out of the heart spring all the issues of life. Out of the heart spring all the issues of life. The heart is the source of all the other issues of our life. So the condition of our heart determines the quality of our life. Our marriage, our finances, the things going on in our city, the quality of our relationships, all of it is determined by our heart. It all flows from our heart. The values, the beliefs, the attitudes, the perspectives of our heart. This is what the Bible's saying. And we've seen this all over the Bible. We've been looking at this the last couple weeks. Jesus talked all about the heart. He was all about the heart. He said that all lust and greed and all that stuff, it all flows from the heart. And when he came to minister, what did he do when he died on the cross? He came and he put his righteousness and his Holy Spirit in our hearts. Why? So he could heal and free our hearts. So that now he can lead our hearts, change us from the inside out. We see it all over the place, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We see Jesus in Matthew 13 talking about our heart and the condition of our heart. And he describes it as four different soils. Hard soil, rocky soil, thorny soil, or good soil. And what is he doing? He's just talking about the heart. He's saying the condition of your heart will determine how much you receive from God and how much fruit you can produce. And so what the Lord's trying to do is he wants us to see breakthrough. And he wants to pour out his blessing. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants our marriages to be fruitful. He wants our ministries to be fruitful. But he recognizes, the Lord knows, that he's got to deal with our heart. This is what we've been saying. The Lord doesn't do band-aids. The Lord does cures. And he gets at the heart of the matter to heal our hearts and to deal with things in our hearts so that we can grow. Scriptures say, Galatians chapter 6, it says that whatever a man sows, that will he reap. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. And it's so interesting that our heart is always talked about as a garden. Our heart, if you will, is like the garden of the Lord. Why? Because something gets put in our hearts and then something is produced. And so the Bible talks about and describes our heart so often like a garden. I showed you this last week. We saw that even though the Garden of Eden was a real garden, you know, with real people, Adam and Eve, it's a picture of our own hearts with two trees right there, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Proverbs talks about it like that. Jesus talks about our heart like a garden. Fruit of the Spirit is talked about in Galatians 5. And then Galatians 6, whatever a man sows, that will he reap. If you sow into your heart the things of God, the things of His Word, if you sow into your heart truth, that's what you're going to reap. But if you sow into your heart other things, you'll reap other things, right? There's a fruit problem. There's a root problem. What's really the point of all this? We need to take responsibility for our own heart. We need to take responsibility maybe of what's going on in our life or in our communities. We need to take responsibility. I was thinking about a story that I used to tell years ago. I used to tell this story, this joke. It's kind of just a silly joke. Years ago, I used to tell this story. I used to talk about a man that woke up one morning, had breakfast, went out, grabbed the bus. He got on the bus. He said, "Man, it smells in here. Man, this bus smells. What's wrong with this bus? It smells in here." And he said, "Man, it smells like moldy cheese in this bus. Man, it stinks in here." He's all kind of frustrated, you know. Gets off the bus and goes to work. "Man, it smells in my work. Man, what? It smells like moldy cheese in my work." He works all day just annoyed. "Man, this stinks. Man, somebody needs to take out the trash or somebody needs to do something about this." After work, he goes to the store, and he goes to the grocery store, and he walks in the grocery store. "Man, it smells like moldy cheese in here, too. Man, the whole city stinks like moldy cheese. Man, this whole city just stink like moldy cheese. And he's just frustrated. He's had a horrible day, you know? He goes home. He goes into the restroom. And when he goes in the restroom, he turns on the light. He looks in the mirror. And right there in his mustache, some smeared cheese that he just didn't get wipe off. Stuck on his mustache all day. Sitting right under his nose. And then he realized, nobody told me. And he realized, man, it wasn't my work that smelled. It wasn't the bus that smelled. It wasn't the grocery store that smelled. I smelled. I was still smelling the stinky, rotten cheese under my own nose. See, sometimes we think everybody else stinks. But sometimes it's right here in our own heart. I used to tell that joke years ago because it just makes a good point, right? And then I was on a missions trip to Argentina. I went on a missions trip with some people, and I was ministering, you know, with a number of people, guys and girls, and my wife was there and such, but there was a lady that was with us, and a woman of God. She was ministering with us, and we'd go into schools and teach English, share Jesus, stuff like that. And one day, she told me this story. One day, she goes to the internet cafe. She goes to the internet cafe, and she thinks, man, it smells like poop in here. That's horrible. This is disgusting. Man, they need to clean this place. And she leaves the internet cafe, and she goes to the market. It smells like poop in here. And she's telling me the story. She said, David, I'm telling you, man, I smell the poop. And we would walk everywhere. She's walking, and she said, man, even the city smells like poop. What's wrong with this city? And she's telling me the story. And she knows she's setting me up, right? She's setting me up. And then she says, and then I got home. I got back to the dorm, I mean. And I sat down, and I took off my shoes. And guess what was on my shoes? She says, Pastor David, guess what was on my shoes? And I said, poop. And she said, yeah, I had the poop on my shoe the whole day. And she said, and I couldn't help but think about your story about the stinky cheese. It wasn't the city that stunk. I stunk like poop all day. See, we need to take responsibility for our own heart, don't we? Sometimes it's we stink. Our heart stinks. Our attitude stinks. Our perspective stinks. Sometimes it's our values, our perspective of God or other people, lies that we believe. And we need to realize sometimes, no, we need to deal with our own heart. And that's what the Lord's doing in this series. The Lord's teaching us we need to cultivate some things in us. This is what we saw last week. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, let me pick it up here. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, God told Adam, tend and keep the garden. Tend and keep the garden. And that garden, of course, is a real garden in Eden, but we saw that same thing going on in Proverbs. We see the same thing going on in the rest of Scripture. Every one of us, we are called to tend and to keep, first and foremost, our heart. That also applies to our ministries, our homes, our families, our relationships. Really, I believe Genesis chapter 2, when God says to Adam, and Eve, of course, is a part of this, tend and keep the garden, that's at the core of our calling. That we as believers, every single one of us, we're called to tend and to keep the things that God has given to us to tend and keep. What does that mean, tend and keep? It means to cultivate. You tend something by cultivating it, sowing seed, watering it, pruning maybe, cultivating the soil, making sure the soil is good. But the other word, keep, that word means to guard. To cultivate and to guard. What do you have to guard against? Well, what about weeds? Thorns? Bugs? Little animals that want to eat your garden? Tend and keep. And God was telling Adam, and just like he's telling us, you need to tend to your heart. You need to cultivate the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Truth in your heart. You need to cultivate it, but you also need to guard it. And this is what we see in Proverbs chapter 4. Listen to it again in verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. That word right there is the same in Genesis. Guard it. Guard it. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. See, this is the truth. What you cultivate will grow. And what you neglect will die. In your life, in any area of your life, and in your own heart, whatever you cultivate will flourish. And whatever you neglect will die. The Bible says the diligence prosper. The diligent prosper. But laziness leads to poverty. If you neglect something, it begins to fall into ruin. It begins to cause more problems if you neglect it. But if you pay attention and guard and protect and steward and manage and cultivate something, it can last a long time. We've got a pastor. His name's Pastor Carl in Anaheim. He's one of the elders of The Rock. I'm hoping you can meet him one day. But Pastor Carl, man of God, great preacher. I want to be like Pastor Carl when I grow up. Everybody wants to be like Pastor Carl. And he's a man of God too, man of humility and such. He has a Honda that is over 300,000 miles on the Honda because he just keeps taking care of it, just maintains it so well that he's got this Honda and it just keeps going. He's inspired me. I have a Corolla, a 2003 Corolla, but I've had it since 2002. And it's about 15 years old. I got about 172,000 miles on it. It's going good. But you got to keep maintenance on it, right? I've got some friends here that's helping me keep the maintenance on it. But here's the thing. If you neglect something, it will fall into ruin. But if you take care of it, you can make it last. Whether it's a car, whether it's a garden, right? Whether it's your home, relationships, or your own heart. I had some friends, smart friends, brilliant, hardworking, well-off friends, had a car, new car, bought a new car. Did not get an oil change. Blew their engine. You cultivate something, it will flourish. You neglect something, it will die. You can't drive a car without getting an oil change and stuff like that, even if it's a new car. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't know what happened. They're busy or whatever. There's smart people and everything. And they just neglected it. They neglected it. You could take care of 90% of your life, but if you neglect that 10%, that's where you'll have problems, right? And it doesn't matter if you ignore it and ignore it and ignore it. What happens? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Listen, what are you cultivating in your life? What are you cultivating in your own heart? And what are you neglecting? If it's a fruit problem, it's a root problem. What are you ignoring and hoping will just go away? Fix itself. It doesn't. It doesn't. When the scriptures say, keep your heart with all diligence, it's saying, listen, this is the most important thing in your life, and you have to work at it. You got to work on your heart. See, anything good in life, it takes work, it takes time, it takes attention to cultivate. But if you ignore your heart, you ignore your relationships, you ignore your finances, you'll have problems right there. See, sometimes, you know, this is what I think. When I like watching sports, and I'm fascinated, honestly, I'm fascinated how amazingly skilled certain athletes are. Like, I just get excited, you know. Like, I like football especially. I like to watch football, and the season's going to start soon. It just blows me away. These quarterbacks, these receivers, these quarterbacks, so good. Man, they can, I like a good passing offense, you know. These quarterbacks can drive the ball down the field and pass that ball, and the receiver runs his route, catches that ball, get a first down, get a touchdown. Blows my mind. They make it look so easy, don't they? That's how I think. It's so easy for us to like watch basketball or football and be, oh, they should have done that. They should have done that. Armchair quarterbacks, they call us, right? It looks so easy when a professional does it. You know, I'm talking about whether you like gymnastics or the Olympics or whatever. When you're watching a professional athlete, they make it look so easy. They make it, I could do that. And you know the truth, you can't do that. Right? They make it look so easy. They make it look like they just came out of the womb doing that. But we know the truth, that they worked hard. We know that they were working, that they that we know that that quarterback and that receiver, they practiced that over and over again. They communicated it. They knew exactly what they were supposed to do. That receiver ran his route the way he was supposed to run it. The quarterback did exactly what he was supposed to do. They fine-tuned these things, right? It doesn't matter if you're a musician. They make it look so easy, but you know they worked at it. And it's the same thing in our own lives. Sometimes we see people with blessing in their life and we think, oh, they just have it easy. We see people who are blessed of God, oh, they just got it easy. We see a marriage that's flourishing and we say, oh, aren't they just so lucky? We see somebody advancing in life and we just say, man, I don't know how that happened for them. I'll tell you how it happened. Obviously, the power and the blessing of God, but listen, it's because they cultivated it. They cultivated it. See, ask yourself, am I cultivating intimate friendship? Am I cultivating healthy relationships? Am I cultivating a passion for Jesus? Am I cultivating humility, kindness? Am I cultivating the joy of the Lord in my life? Am I cultivating the fruit of the Spirit? Am I cultivating faith in the Lord? What are you cultivating? What are you keeping and guarding in your heart? See, I've got to watch my kids' hearts. I've got to make sure, hey, are my kids doing good? Are they filled up with love? Are our hearts connected in relationship? Are they doing good spiritually? I can't just put my kids on like autopilot. Boop. I'll see you in 18 years. You get what I'm saying? If I don't pay attention to their heart, pay attention to their spiritual life. I wake up one day and say, man, what happened? But it's the same thing in my marriage. You can't put it on autopilot. If I don't tend to my heart, tend to the relationship between my wife and I, make sure her heart's good, my heart's good, we're good with each other, make sure I'm forgiving where I need to forgive. It doesn't happen automatically, see? Forgiveness, it's an issue of the heart. Faith is an issue of the heart. Joy is an issue of the heart. You get what I'm saying? These are all issues of the heart. Now notice what it says here. Notice what it says here in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. What's being described here is how you cultivate and guard your heart. Notice, give attention to my word. You've got to spend time in the word. You've got to give your focus to it. Can't just be on the fly. He's saying, incline your ear, pay attention, listen to me. He's saying, hey, you've got to cultivate something in your heart. And then he says, and keep it in the midst of your heart. Keep your heart. Keep the word in your heart. You got to guard the word in your heart and make sure that nobody and nothing stealing the word of God from you. I had a garden. A few years ago, I started thinking, I'm gonna grow vegetables. So we had a house. We had a rose garden, and we had some fruit trees. We had some other flowers, and I planted flowers. And then I planted a vegetable garden. And I'll tell you, one time I was at church, and this man comes up to me and says, hey, man, I heard you got a garden. I said, oh, yeah. And he said, oh, that's great. I love to garden. I said, that's cool. I'm enjoying it. And he started showing me pictures on his phone of his garden. And you know, man, I don't even know what he was growing. It was like some crazy big vegetable, huge. He told me what the name was. This big lettuce thing and this big potato looking thing. He's showing me like crazy vegetables, big vegetables, huge garden. And he's like, yeah, look at this. And I'm doing all this. And I'm thinking about my garden. And he's like, yeah, that's cool, you know. And I just told him straight up, like, I just told him straight up, my garden doesn't look like that, you know. Like, I wasn't going to try to fake it, you know. Oh, yeah, you should see my garden. I had no pictures. No, I just told him straight up, no, my garden doesn't look like that. I just dabbling. You know, people would say, "Oh, are you a green thumb?" You know, have you heard that before? "Oh, you're a green thumb?" I tell them, "No, I'm more of a yellow thumb. Most of what I plant dies." The first year we started our vegetable garden, I had like a billion tomatoes. I don't even know. All of a sudden, bam, we had tomatoes. And it was like, I did not plant all those. Where'd they all come from, you know? And then like my cucumbers, we had like one good cucumber and the rest turned yellow. I didn't know that. Cucumbers, you really got to take care of cucumbers. They're like high maintenance vegetables, you know? And so you got to take care of the cucumber. I didn't know that. And we had some carrots. Carrots were good, right? I made organic carrot soup, right? We had some carrots and such. But I'll tell you, you know what really got me? Were the aphids. I don't know if you ever heard, these little, I didn't even know what an aphid was until I planted a garden. And then all of a sudden the aphids were like, hey aphids, that guy's got some vegetables. Let's go destroy his garden. And I realized aphids are evil. No, man, these little aphids, they come and they eat up your garden and they destroy your garden. I had these corn stalks. It was horrible. They destroyed my corn. It was like there were more aphids than corn kernels, you know? And so I said, man, you know, you got the weeds and you got the aphids and you got all this stuff attacking my garden. The second year I planted the garden, that was just bad. We were in a drought in California. I didn't really water it very much. That just died. Okay, so that wasn't very good. But I found that I had to really take care of like my roses. I had to trim them in the wintertime, make sure they didn't get a disease. I found that with my flowers, I had to weed. I was out there all the time. My family think I'm crazy. I'm just pulling the weeds out, trying to protect my nice, beautiful flowers from weeds. And then I found out the third year when I planted the vegetable garden, I found that if I put some different flowers next to the vegetables, it would protect, to some degree, it would protect my vegetables from the aphids. They didn't like these certain orange flowers or something like that, right? And then I put in a little sprinkler system, and it would water it just a little bit in the daytime. And ooh, that thing grew nice. In fact, so nice that we moved, right? We came out here to St. Louis. And we were selling the house. There was all these big zucchinis and tomatoes, nice, beautiful garden. And the realtor, because we just planted it, and then we ended up moving and everything, come here. And we told the realtor, take it. The house isn't sold. Just take all the vegetables. So I didn't get to enjoy that one. But here's what I learned. If you'll protect your garden from the bugs, and if you'll protect your garden from the weeds, guess what it'll do? It'll work. This is what I learned. The seed is powerful. Those little seeds that God created contain everything that it needs, right? Little seed, little tomato seed, little cucumber seed, whatever. If you'll get that seed in the ground with some good soil, doesn't have to be even the best soil, right? And you water it a little bit, doesn't, you know, at the right amount, and you keep the bugs away and you keep the weeds away, guess what? It'll grow. Isn't that crazy? And you know the same thing with the Word of God in your life? The Word of God is powerful. Powerful. The Word of God is potent, full of the life of God, full of the promises of God. And if you'll get the Word in your heart, it says right here, keep it in the midst of your heart. If you'll get the Word of God into your heart and you'll guard your heart against the other influences that try to rob you of your faith, if you'll get the Word of God into you and you'll just cultivate it a little bit, keep the hard soil out, keep the rocky soil out, keep the thorny soil out, keep the weeds out, keep the bugs out. If you'll guard your heart and you'll just let God's Word do what God's Word is meant to do, you'll see the results. Jesus said it this way, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. See, it's God's Word, powerful Word that will produce results in our life. What's our job? We need to cultivate it. We need to guard the Word of God in our hearts. This is why Jesus is saying, listen, watch out for those rocks. Watch out for those thorns. Watch out for those things. What are the rocks? The rocks are lies about God. Deception that causes us to become offended at God and disappointed with God. What are the thorns? Jesus described them as worldliness, the lusts and the greed and the impurities and the the fears and the anxieties of this world. What is that? This outside influence from the world to tempt us to look to other things rather than the Lord. Notice what it says here. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear. Everyone say ear. To my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Everybody say eyes. Interesting. Why is he talking about your eyes and your ears? Why? Because your eyes and your ears are the gateway into your heart. It's how things get into you. What you see and what you hear, it shapes your heart. It's all about influence. So somebody say influence. Influence. What is influencing you? What are you letting into your heart through your ears and through your eyes? What are you allowing to influence you? The way you think, what you value, how you see the world, how you see yourself. Who are you listening to? Who are you watching? See, this is what happens, the news. We let the news influence us with fear. We let the values of our world influence us through the media and social media and the news. Reality TV, which isn't really reality, is it? And we let these things influence us and get into our hearts. We let the opinions of other people, we let religious traditions, humanistic philosophies. Listen, if I tell you something over and over and over and over again, you just start to believe it, don't you? We have to be very careful. See, if I tell you over and over again, oh, you're just dumb, you're just dumb. You know, you're just never gonna amount to anything in life. You're just dumb. You're gonna believe it after a while. Unless you choose, no, I'm not gonna believe that. If I tell you over and over again, you know, we all just know the universe is billions of years old. We all just know the universe is billions of years old. We all just know the universe is billions of years old. You just gonna buy it? You know, have you ever asked, how do you know that? How do you know the universe is billions of years old? Maybe it's not. But see, we just buy it. We just buy it. Well, they all say, who's they? Well, we all just know, see? And you're just told things over and over and over again. We just believe it. It's why we need to let the Word of God influence us. We need to hear the truth of God's Word. We need to let the Word come into our ears, into our eyes. We need to let the Word of God influence us. I was thinking about a man. Let me wrap up with this story. But I was thinking about a man named Asa this week. Asa. He was a king in Israel. It's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 15, and 16. Asa. And this man named Asa was a godly man, was a good king. When he was a young man, an army came against Israel. An army came against Israel. And as a young man, the Bible says that he cried out to the Lord. That's what it says. It says he cried out to the Lord. He said, God, this is what he told the Lord. He said, nothing's impossible for you. This is the gist of what he said. He says, you can save if you got a big army, or you can save if you got nobody. You can do whatever because you're God. And he cried out to God. He said, God, we need your help. And guess what the Lord did? Victory. Victory. The Bible says, because he relied upon the Lord, victory. See, that man, Asa, he saw the supernatural power of God. He saw God show up in a miraculous way in his life because he relied upon the Lord. Then a prophet came to him and said, hey, we got to clean up the land. We got to get rid of all the idols and the immorality and the injustice in the land. And so Asa, as a good king, he began to reestablish worship of the true God in Israel, cleaned up the temple, taught people to worship God, taught the Bible, got rid of idolatry. His mother was worshiping other idols and got rid of that. Took her out of a place of influence because she was a person of injustice and wickedness, and put her out of influence. And he purified the land and things were good. And then when it says in the 36th year of his reign, which means he was older now. He's older, he's in middle-aged, maybe in his 50s. And everything's good. God has brought economic blessing, peace to the land. Everything's good. And then one day, an army comes against Israel. An army comes against Israel. And guess what Asa does? He gets a bunch of silver and gold together. Gets all his money together. And he goes and he hires another country. Hires out mercenaries to defend him and to fight for him. Why didn't he cry out to the Lord? He took the money that God had blessed him with, the money that came because he had followed God, and he used it in a way that God did not call him to do. When he was young, he was desperate for God, cried out to God, and saw the power of God come through in his life. When he was older, though, he didn't do it. And then this prophet comes to him and says, Asa, if you would have relied on the Lord like you did when you were young, God would have given you victory again. The prophet came and said, don't you remember how God gave you victory when you were younger? When you cried out to God? But what had happened to Asa? He forgot. He forgot. And he got mad at this prophet and threw the prophet in jail. He said, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Threw the prophet in jail. And here's what the prophet said before he got thrown in jail. The prophet said, because God is looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. God is looking for men and women who will trust in the Lord, who will rely on God, who will keep their hearts. What happened to Asa? He forgot. He let his heart get hard. He let those thorns come up into his life and choke out the word of God in his life. See, here's what happens. If we're not careful, we'll trust the Lord and see breakthrough. And then we'll let our hearts grow fallow. We'll let our hearts get hard. We'll let our hearts get cold. And we'll forget why the blessing came. We're all good with the blessing, but we'll forget why it came. We'll forget, I believed God and I saw that happen. And here's what happens. Another trial will come and we won't be ready. Just like Asa. Another trial will come and we won't be ready. And here's the problem, though. We think God has changed. Do you hear me, church? We think God has changed. People get mad at God. How come God didn't come through for me? How come God didn't do it this time? And we think God changed, but what's the truth? Did God change? Nope. We changed. We changed. It's a matter of the heart, isn't it? Did God change or did Asa change? Asa changed, didn't he? All of a sudden now Asa's heart is comfortable and complacent and hard. And he doesn't want to hear the word. Now Asa's good because he's seen blessing. And now I can use my riches that God gave me and I can go and I can put my hope in other people. And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. Listen, if God did it then, he'll do it again. If you saw God come through miraculously when you were younger, or in another time in your life, he'll do it again. But what do we need to do? We need to cultivate our heart, don't we? We need to cultivate our heart. See, I hear this with marriages. Oh yeah, we just fell out of love. No, you didn't. You didn't cultivate your heart. Oh, we're just not compatible. No, no, that's not true. You just didn't cultivate forgiveness. See, if you cultivate it, it'll flourish. But if you neglect it, it will die. See, we don't want to be like Asa. We got to be careful. What about David? He let lust get into his heart and it ruined his family. Remember Moses? He let disappointment and offense get into his heart and it kept him from the promised land. What about Judas? He walked with Jesus. But Judas let greed come into his heart and he lost his soul. He lost his salvation. See, that we've got to be careful. What's coming into my eyes? Am I letting lust and greed and the thorns of this world, the worldliness, get into my eyes, get into my ears? Am I letting myself get disappointed because I'm looking at circumstances and I'm saying, man, God's not faithful. And I'm believing lies about God. God's not really for me. And I let those lies get into my heart and choke out faith in my heart, harden my heart. See, am I cultivating faith? Am I cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Or am I neglecting it? Am I keeping my heart passionate for the Lord? Am I keeping my heart in a place of relying on God? Or am I becoming like Asa? We want to cultivate these things. And how does it happen? It says it right here. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. How do you guard your heart? You flood your heart with the Word of God. Everybody say influence. It's influence. Who's going to influence you? Are you going to be influenced by the truth of God's Word, or are you going to be influenced by other people and religious traditions and human philosophy and fear and anxiety and worry and lust and greed? I'll tell you what I look for. I look for fruit. I look for results. I look for results. You want the consequences of that other people see in the world? Then you follow that example if you want. You remember like that one TV psychologist used to say, how's that working for you? I love that question. People live in their life. Well, it's my life. I'm just going to believe what I want to believe. I'm going to think what I want to think. Yeah, yeah, you are. You are free to think and to live and choose however you are. But guess what? You will suffer the consequences one way or the other. I look for results. And here's what I believe. I believe, because I've walked with the Lord, like Jen was talking about, being faithful to the Lord, He's been faithful to me. The fruit I see in my life, the results I see in my life are because of the Word of God being in my heart. Any amount of grace, any amount of character in my life, any amount of fruitfulness in my life, and I might not have a lot, but the little bit I do have that God has freed me and healed me and changed me, it's only because He worked it in my life. See, so what I do is I look for results. And there's one person who's absolutely perfect and gets perfect results. His name is Jesus. And there are people out there who are following Him. And I say, man, hey, they got some fruit in their life. I might not follow all their example, but I'll follow a little bit of their example. Because I want to see fruit in my life. Who's influencing you? Who's influencing you? What are you letting into your ears and into your eyes? Are you letting the Lord influence you? So here's what I do. I get with the Lord. It's not just reading the Bible, but I'm getting with Jesus. And I'm letting Jesus influencing me. When I'm reading the Word, here's what I'm doing. I'm watching Jesus love people. I'm watching Jesus obey God. I'm watching Jesus. And I'm not just watching Him do it. I'm watching the results. I see the results of His life. And then, like a mirror, I read the Word and let the Word shine into my heart and show me doing it. Right? If you see yourself over and over again retaliating it, getting revenge. If you see yourself over and over again yelling at people or treating people mean. If you see yourself over and over again doing something disobedient, that's how it'll play out in your life. But if you see yourself over and over again obeying God, that's what you'll do. So what I'll do is I take the Word and I see myself loving like Jesus loves. I see Jesus walking in humility, and then I see myself walking in humility. And not only that is I see the results. I meditate on the results. I see the promises in the Word of God, and I see the promises of God coming to pass in my life. The Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So I see myself being willing and obedient and eating the good of the land. See, this is what we've got to do. But if we neglect it, our hearts will grow foul. And so I want to challenge you every day, take care of your heart. Every day, make sure that you're with the Lord, with the Word, letting Jesus show you who He is, who you are. Let Him lead you. Let Him speak to you. Let Him cultivate some things in your heart. Don't let a week go by that you didn't cultivate some relationship with Him, but also relationship with other people. Don't just neglect things in your life. Begin to take care of it and bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need wisdom about this area of my life. I need You to help me in this area. Lord, I want You to cultivate some things in my heart. And begin from the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into your ears and into your eyes and influence your heart. And begin to change the way you see yourself and the world. Amen?